There was a man who was in a grocery store, and he noticed that a woman was following him, an older woman was following him. Thought this is kind of weird. She went everywhere he went. And finally, she kind of walked up to him and she said, I know you've noticed I've been following you, and I just want to apologize, first of all. I should have said something to begin with. I said, I just want you to know that you are the spitting image of my son. I lost my son just several months ago, and you are just the spitting image of him, and it just moves me to see you here. And I just wonder if you would do me a favor. And he said, well, I'll try. I'm sorry for your loss. I'll try to do what I can. She said, well, my son actually owned a grocery store, and every time I would go in there and I'd talk to him, just before I walked out the door, I would turn and look at him, and he would say, goodbye, mother. I wonder if you'd do that for me. I said, well, yeah, that's easy. I can do that for you. So he went ahead and finished his shopping. She finished her shopping. She went up, and he went up to the cashier here. She got her purchases all checked out, and then she walked to the door, and she turned around and looked at him and smiled, and he looked at her and smiled and said, goodbye, mother. And as he turned around, the cashier finished ringing up his stuff, and she said, that'll be $382.14. He said, what are you talking about? I only had 5 items. He said, well, your mother said you'd pay for them. Was that better? This is Mother's Day. Everybody said something about it. I'm going to go ahead and say something about it, too. Thank you, moms. We appreciate you. We appreciate everything you do. You're not my mom, but that's okay. I love you just like I love my mom. We know what you do for us. All of us had mothers. Some of us had mothers that were better than others. And some of us have mothers that we love dearly and will always love dearly, no matter what. But happy Mother's Day to all of you, and I hope you have a great day today. Hope your sons and your husbands and all take you out someplace nice, or at least cook something nice for you at home.
And go grocery shopping for you.
Well, I was going to say, Randall obviously is not going to be cooking anything for anyone, so... Got a meatloaf in the oven. Okay, all right. Thanks for fixing that, Debbie. Hope you all have a great day. This morning, I wanted to continue my series on people in the Bible, Bible characters, and I wanted to skip down. I went with Aaron, then I went with Bartimaeus, and of course, C would be the obvious one next, but I'm going to skip down a few letters because I wanted to talk about one of the most well-known mothers in the history of the world. Thank you for introducing my topic, Ed. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is who I want to talk about this morning. She is probably the most well-known mom who has ever lived. Here are the facts that we know about Mary from the scriptures. These are the facts pre-Jesus. She was Jewish. She was from the lineage of David. Number 2, she lived in a city called Nazareth. Number 3, she was a virgin, which is, of course, is important to the story. Number 4, she was betrothed to a carpenter by the name of Joseph. And number 5, she had a relative named Elizabeth. Those are the only facts that we ironclad know for sure about Mary from the scriptures before Jesus came along. We don't know her age. We have no idea what her age is. We do not know what she looked like. All we know is those facts. Mary is mentioned about 20 times in the scriptures, only about 20 times. She, by name, she is mentioned as the mother of Jesus 6 more times. So not a tremendous amount. She does have a fair amount of mentions in the scripture. And despite the fact that she's only mentioned these 26 times, there has been a tremendous backstory that has been developed over the years about Mary by several groups. A lot of things that they have said about Mary frankly, just aren't in the scriptures, and so therefore aren't something that we should be listening to necessarily. And we'll talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. When you look at the story of Mary, you can divide it into several segments. And that's what I wanted to kind of do today, is look at these segments in her life, these events in her life, and to find out how she reacted, what she did, and then talk a little bit about her. The first time we hear mention of Mary's name is in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. This is a mere statement of fact a statement of fact that this is part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. He came from that lineage in the lineage of David. Next is another statement of fact that we find in this particular scripture, and that was just a couple of verses later, Mary was found with child while she was betrothed to Joseph. That was not a great thing to have happen. She was with child before she actually married Joseph, and so tongues were going to wag. Joseph, not being an honorable man and not wanting to make a spectacle out of her, was going to put her away privately. But an angel came to Joseph and he said, "Don't be afraid to marry Mary because this child is from God." And so he listened to what the angel said and he married Mary. Well, before this, before he was visited by the angel, another angel came to Mary. We don't know if it was exactly the same time or a little before then or exactly when it was. But this angel Gabriel came to Mary, and I wanted to read this particular passage. We find it in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was, as you would be. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to him, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." This was a startling statement that was made to Mary. "Mary, you're pregnant. You're going to be pregnant. And you're going to have a child, and you're going to name him Jesus. All of these things are going to happen." You can imagine what this must have been. I don't know if we can even imagine what it must have been like for Mary to hear these words. But Mary had faith. She was a young lady of great faith. What she said was, "I am the handmaid of God. Whatever God wants, that's what was going to happen, and that's what will be. I will do what the Lord wants me to do." That was basically her answer. She left almost immediately and went to Judah to visit her relative, Elizabeth. It just says that Elizabeth was her relative. We don't know if she was a cousin, an aunt, exactly what she was, only that she was a relative. When she gets to Elizabeth's house, she walks in and she calls for Elizabeth. And when she does, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. And then she says to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 42, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Later on, she says in the 44th verse, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now, this, of course, is where people begin to kind of veer off from the facts of the Bible into folklore. This is where a lot of people attempt to lift Mary up to a higher stature, to make her more than she actually is, according to the scriptures. Mary's answer to what Elizabeth is saying sort of confuses the issue if you listen to it and you don't want to pay attention to the scriptures. It says, "For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." If you take a quick look at the words that are used here, you're going to see how these words are used and what these words are. In Elizabeth's first greeting to Mary, she says, uses the word, the Greek word, eulogio. That, of course, has several meanings, and one of the meanings is favored of God. Now, if you put it in the context of what Elizabeth is saying to Mary, it fits perfectly. Blessed are you among women. Favored of God are you among women. Not over and above all women, but just among women. And the second definition that fits here is the one praiseworthy. and praiseworthy is the fruit of your womb. So if you listen to those things, you can see what's being said here. It is not anything major. It is just blessed are these things. Blessed are these things. The second case, she uses the word makarios, which simply means happy. It's the one that is used in the Beatitudes. Happy is the person who does this. Happy is the person who is this. Mary's answer is a derivative of that. It is makarizo, which means to be counted happy. And you would think that she would want to be counted happy because she is favored of God. For whatever reason, God chose her to be the mother of this child. She was happy at the news that she was going to be the mother of this child. But what was the news? What was the news? She was told that she was going to have a child who would sit on the throne of his father David. Now put yourself in Mary's shoes for just a moment. You don't, as we mentioned this morning in class, you did not have the New Testament at that time. You didn't know what was going to happen. You had no idea what was going to happen. You knew the prophecies, but you didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And here's an angel that tells you that your son is going to sit on the throne of David. What are you going to think? Are you going to think that he is going to be the king of some spiritual kingdom? Or are you going to think, like a lot of other people thought, that he was going to sit on the physical throne of David and bring Israel back to its prominence? What are you going to think when you hear these things? Are you going to think he was going to be an earthly king to return Israel to its earthly glory? There is no mention of the spiritual nature necessarily in the things that the angel said. In her speech, Mary says this, "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Later, she alludes to his servant Israel and the promise made to Abraham. Apparently, she knew about these promises that were made to Abraham. Of course she would have. She would have been taught these things as a youth. But she makes no mention of her coming son becoming the Savior of mankind. When you look at the pre-birth Mary, it is wise not to project back your beliefs or my beliefs and my understandings on her. She did not have the same understandings and beliefs that we did. She knew what she knew. She did not know what we know. And that's borne out later on by some events that happened in her life and by some statements that she makes. The next time we encounter Mary is in the stable when she has had Jesus. It is the night of his birth. Mary is doing what all mothers do after they have a baby. She's resting. And she's probably also feeding the baby. You know what else she's probably doing? Oohing and aahing over the baby. It's an automatic thing for women to do, and especially mothers, is to ooh and aah over babies. It doesn't matter if it's your child or your grandchild or somebody else's child, you're going to be oohing and aahing over that baby. And you can imagine that's what Mary was doing. Suddenly, shepherds appear out of nowhere for no apparent reason. They say, "We want to see this baby. The angels told us about this. We want to see this baby." And so they ooh and aah over the baby. We don't know exactly what they're saying. We don't know what they said to her. We do know that what their visit was voiced abroad later on, but we don't know exactly what was said there. Here's what we do know. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Now, ask you a question. Does that sound like someone who is privy to God's plan, who knows everything that's going to happen to this child? Or does that sound like someone who was observing what was happening and wondering what it all meant? What does this all mean? The next time we meet Mary is in the temple, the first time we meet her in the temple. When her days of purification were complete, the family went to Jerusalem so that they could present Jesus to the Lord, as prescribed by the law of Moses, as it mentions in the scriptures. Now, there's a man in the city of Jerusalem named Simeon. And Simeon has been promised by the Lord that he will not die until he sees the salvation of Israel. He gets a message to come to the temple. He comes to the temple and he finds this family who's just doing what they normally do when they have a child. They're presenting them to the Lord. And he comes up to this family. He takes the baby from Mary and he starts praising God. What are you thinking? The scriptures say that Joseph and Mary marveled at what was going on. Simeon is holding this baby. And after he says what he says, he turns to Mary and he says this, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Remember that statement about the sword piercing. We're going to use that in just a little bit. But think about this. He is saying all these things. What are Mary and Joseph thinking as he's saying these things? Are they thinking about the cross that's 33 years away? Or are they thinking about possibly the fact that this is going to be the king of Israel? That he's going to bring this kingdom back? We don't know for sure. But we can't project what we know back to that event. The next event in Mary's life that we read about is the second event in the temple, and that's when Jesus is 12 years old. And we all know the story. They've gone to the temple for the feast days, and they leave there, and after about 3 days, they can't find Jesus. He's nowhere in the group that is going back to their city. So what they do is they go back to the city, and they search for him in the temple. Finally, they find him talking to all the scholars in the temple. He's saying things that he shouldn't be saying. He knows things that he shouldn't know. He is startling everyone. And what does Mary say? Does Mary come up to him and say, "Wow, what a wonderful intellect you have. What a scholar you are. What a wonderful..." No, what does he do? She fusses at him. She says, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have sought you anxiously." We know the answer. The answer was, "I have to be about my father's business. Don't you know that?" And we also know what the scripture says next in the 51st verse. "Then he," Jesus, "went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart." Does this sound like someone who knows why Jesus is teaching these things and understands why he's teaching them? She is wondering. She is observing. She is listening. The next time we see Mary and Jesus together is at the wedding feast. This is where Jesus performs his first miracle. It's in the city of Cana. There is a wedding feast. During the feast, as sometimes happen, they run out of wine. When they run out of wine, nobody says anything to Mary. She just goes to Jesus and she says, "They've run out of wine." She doesn't say, "Son, would you go out and fetch some more?" She doesn't say, "Would you make some wine out of water?" She says, "Son, they've run out of wine." Jesus looks at her and says, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." I read some commentaries where it says this word that's used here for woman is actually kind of an endearing thing. And as a matter of fact, some of the translations may say, "Dear woman." So it's not that he was fussing at her necessarily. It's just, "Dear woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." But Mary knows her son. And she knows that her son will help. So she turns to the others and she says, "Whatever he tells you to do, you do it." There are a lot of people who have speculated about this. She knew that Jesus would perform this miracle. She was somehow privy to all of this information that Jesus would perform the miracle. She had seen him perform miracles before, but of course we know this is the only one recorded that he had done. Really, though, is this not just the reaction of a mother who knows her son and knows what her son will do? Think about it for a moment. You call up your son one night and you say, "Son, my best friend called me and her car is broken down two streets over from where you are." And he says to you, "What's it to me?" And she says, "Thank you," and hangs up the phone and calls her friend back and says, "My son will be there in just a few minutes. Whatever he says to do, you do it." Because your mom knows you. Your mom knows your heart. Well, Mary knew her son. Mary knew his heart. She had observed him for 30 years. She knew what type of person he was. And she knew that if his mother asked for something, he would do it for her. Now, by the way, Jesus did not perform this miracle to please Mary. He performed this miracle to begin showing his power on this earth. Did you know, by the way, and I didn't know this till I was reading this, but did you know that this was the only adult conversation that is recorded between Mary and Jesus in the scriptures? That's kind of interesting to think about. Well, now we have Mary who's being challenged a little bit by her son. "Woman, what do I have to do with you?" The next incident, something special happens in that. Mary is seeking her son. Mary and her brothers have followed Jesus as he has gone along teaching. One day they are in Capernaum, and as he's teaching, people are saying, "This guy is crazy. He is out of his mind. What is he teaching?" Apparently, his mother and brothers heard about this. They want to go to him, and they want to find out exactly what's going on. So they come to where he is, and they say, "We want to see our son. Tell him to come out and speak with us." And this incident, I'm going to read about this, is in Mark chapter 3. We remember this. Mark chapter 3, verses 31 through 35. Then his brothers and mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." But he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" And he looked around in the circle of those who sat around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." At this point, Jesus was boldly resisting the authority of his mother, of his parent. And he was substituting instead the authority of his Father, his heavenly Father. "I'm going to be doing what my heavenly Father wants me to do." Now, moms, what would be your reaction if your son did something like this to you? Now, remember, you don't know that he is going to be nailed on a cross. You don't know all of these things. You've just been listening to him for all this time. What is your reaction? Remember what Simeon said? "A sword will pierce through your own soul also." I'm not saying this is a fulfillment of the prophecy right here, but I'm saying this could be part of what he was saying. No sword was actually used in the crucifixion of Jesus, by the way. She endured the shame of pregnancy. She endured the physical pains of pregnancy. She endured the pains of birth. She endured raising this child, and now she was rejected by this child. But he had to be about his Father's business. That's what he was telling these people in that crowd, and what he was telling his mom who was waiting outside. "I have to be about my Father's business." Makes you wonder if she thought back to that day in the temple when she got word of what Jesus had said. This is my mother and my brothers. This is who I need to be with. Well, the next time we see Mary and Jesus together is at the cross, about three and a half years later. All we know is that she was there. She's not even mentioned by name. It's just the mother of Jesus is down there. Jesus is looking on his mother. He's a good son. And he entrusts her care into his beloved friend, John. And that's all we hear about her in the Gospels. That's it, in those segments right there. Now, I mentioned earlier that there are some people in religious circles, other religious circles, who try to elevate Mary. What they call venerate her. Raise her above what she is in the Scriptures, because this is not what the Bible does. It does not venerate Mary. The Bible just tells us that she is part of the overall plan of salvation, the overall story of Jesus. We have to remember that Mary was part of God's plan, but just one of many parts. She was no more important than Joseph was. She was no more important than the centurion was. She was no more important than Peter and Judas and Bartimaeus or anyone else in the story. They were all part of the story. Now, Mary was favored by God. She was favored to be the vehicle by which he would accomplish his work. She was special in that regard. God knew who he was choosing. God knew what type of person she was and would be. And so, therefore, that's why he chose that woman, just as he chose Joseph to be there. Imagine, he brought those two together. Wasn't a coincidence, was it? It was planned by God. She was a part of his work just as much as Sarah was a part of God's work. She was a part of his work as much as Rebecca, as Rachel, as Leah, as Rahab, Naomi, Ruth, Bathsheba, and all of the other mothers who were mentioned in Scripture. She was a good mom. She raised her son right. She wondered at his message the same way that others wondered at it. She was not greater than her son. She said it herself. "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." I'm just a handmaiden. I'm just a maidservant to the Lord. Let it be according to what you want, Lord. The message of Mary is for all of us to be a servant of God. We may not understand the why, we may not understand the what, we may have a lot of questions, but we need to let our faith win out. We need to follow the Lord, need to lean on him for guidance. We need to be faithful to him. And that's the kind of example that Mary is to mothers and to all followers of Jesus Christ. Speaking of that, by the way, the next time we hear about Mary is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with her with his brothers. All moms think their children are special. Would you agree with that? At least in the beginning, you think they're special, don't you? You may change your mind later on when they become teenagers or grow up, but you do think your children are special. We think that our children are meant for bigger things in this life. Sometimes we tried to guide them. Sometimes we tried to prod them. Sometimes mothers even try to force their children to do things that they think they should do. Mary knew that her son was special because an angel told her. She didn't know exactly why he was special, but she knew that he was special. And she trusted God to guide her, and she trusted God's plan for her son. Mary, the mother of Jesus, followed her son, and she followed her God to the end and beyond the end. She is a great example for all mothers and fathers and sons and daughters. Once again, happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. If anybody has a need to answer an invitation, we're going to offer that for you right now while we stand and sing.